Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It is football season, and it's glorious. It's glorious. Oh, click, clack, click, clack. Cleats on the asphalt, pads popping, the communication in space, the different smells, sights and sounds. Cities, communities, towns all look and sound different during football season, and we love it for 402-464-5685. If you want to ask questions, be a part of what we're doing, you can, and you can follow us on the live video streams on the app. You can follow us on LO, YouTube, X, etc. And for anybody that has questions, you can shout out tonight. We have passes for the Salt Dogs. They've got their final home series tonight, tomorrow, Thursday. If you want to just take the family, perfect opportunity, just hit us up on the Starter Hammond text line and we can hook you up. Because it's football season, there are sights and sounds, things that we've become familiar with. Harrison Orange, kind sir, play this man's music.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Magnificent.
Man, Ed Sable really did some stuff. He really raised a generation of football fans. You know,
he really did. He really did. Let's bring him in, Fairfax Football Academy. Their own Coach Barry Thompson, PT. What's happening, baby?
I can't call it. Let's go. Football season.
Hey, Harrison, I don't even think you got this news.
Which
that
one?
In 2 weeks, we will do this show with Barry Thompson in studio.
That is news to me.
He's coming for that week of Colorado. We'll do a one-on-one. We'll move some of the shows around to do it while he's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll have him on Old School, but I'm also going to have him on one-on-one.
In studio. I love it. Love it.
Right? And you know what's going on? I'm going to make him cook, too.
All right. We'll cook, too.
There's going to be a lot of mouths in the lake. There's going to be
a whole bunch of people trying to hang out at the mill when Barry Thompson's cooking. BT, it's that time of year. College football officially kicks off, and the story, this season is so finitely connected to quarterbacks and quarterback play.
Yes.
That Georgia Tech and Florida State kicked this thing off in Dublin, Ireland. They went across the pond, went to the great greens of Dublin.
Yes.
And what had happened was, you brought in, Florida State brought in DJ Uiagalelei and said,
he's been around. He's been around, right?
But here's what happens. Georgia Tech said, we're going to do less, better.
Yes. Early in the season, that's real important.
Right, that we forget that if you can run the ball, it transcends a whole lot of other things.
You know, as much as the game changed, there are certain principles that will never change, right? And that is that you have to play defense, right? You have to be able to run the ball when you want to and when you have to, yes? Mm-hmm. And when you throw it, you got to take care of the ball.
Well, through that, and I think we often miss identifying that thing, take care of the ball, because from the quarterback position, it means a whole lot of other different things.
Yeah.
Right? Well, there's a different level of responsibility, right?
Yeah, but from a team perspective, you talk about winning. If you go offensively and you don't have any penalties, right, and you don't turn the ball over, that alone is going to put you in a lot of games.
But you say that so simply. Hey, man. Hey, all you, hey, guys. Just don't give them the ball. And we got a pretty good chance to win it.
I've been around some good coaches. And one of the things I learned about being a head coach is that you have to have something that's extremely important to you. And you choose which one of those things is extremely important. And some of the successful guys I've been around, they emphasize their thing is they never wanted a player to fumble the ball. The teams just don't fumble. That's not what they do. So, you know, it really starts from the top. You know, how are you going to prosecute this thing?
But that's so funny because we've been in those rooms. And listen, to ask a quarterback who's going to touch the ball in every play,
right?
One, you have to take it from somebody else. Which means you're affected.
Yes.
Receive it while processing.
Yes.
Then maneuver said football safely.
Right.
To your next mesh point transition, whether it's play action or final step of your drop.
There is three parts to it. You've got the pre-snap
understanding. That's why I brought it up. Let's go.
Yeah, there's three parts to it. You've got your pre-snap understanding. You've got to process things in the middle of your drop and then process things at the top of your drop. And the big thing is, it's easy to say it, but you've got to be coached on all of those things, mm-hmm. right? Like how do I want you to look at the field with this call? All right, which defender are we going to, as we're getting in the drop, how are we going to look at him to decide whether we're going to throw or not throw? And then when I get to the top of my drop or whenever I'm supposed to be throwing, is it a go or no go? All of that has to be coached or learn the hard way. Yeah. So it's complicated. You know what I tell a lot of quarterbacks when the first, you know, I get with them and, you know, you and I are big on first things first. I got a quarterback getting ready to go in the game and it's hyped up and I said, hey, and they'll go, what? And I said, get the snap, get the snap. We can play football after that.
And then sometimes you forget that there's a big guy who's just had like 30 concussions consecutively with a 300-pound dude on his head. He's got sweaty hands and his fingers are bruised up from throwing it into hard plastic for 30 plays. Oh, that dude's got to safely deliver it protect you at the same time.
Yeah. It's funny you were mentioning centers in the last thing. I was just looking at TV last night and I said, do you realize what those guys do? And I was just talking in the living room to my wife and I said, you know, there's a guy who gets down, he has the ball in his hand. Now he's got to remember all the variations and all the calls and, you know, all the things that can happen in a short space in a very quick time. But the main thing is when he moves his ball, that guy that's about 6 inches from him is moving while his hand is between his legs and he's expected to go block this 300-pound dude or contain him or stop him or jolt him with one hand until he gets the other hand up. It's an amazing thing centers do.
And then remembering that this leather object, which has weird shape to it on purpose.
Yes.
Right? That you've got to transition that, secure it, get out of the way of the two 300-pound dudes.
Yeah.
And then get to a meeting point with more decisions in play.
Right.
Whether it be the running game, which is one set, and again, safely, securely, on time, and on purpose.
Yeah.
Package it to a running back who then needs to get away from the quarterback as quickly as possible.
Yeah, the only guy on a football field who's not dependent is the center.
Yeah.
He's the only guy who's not dependent. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. He can miss a snap count, snap it early. But he's the only guy on a football field that is not dependent. And there's a reason why they call it the ultimate team sport, because it really is. Everybody relies on everybody else on the field, off the field to do their jobs. You know, from the, you talked about the communication, you know, coming down the booth. Is it clear? Is it concise? Do I understand it? Did you flip something on me? You know, is it different than the game plan? Right. That kind of lines of communication. Is it succinct? Is it efficient? Can I get it in time? That decision maker starts up top. Does he have it? It's a really, really dependent sport.
Barry, then it becomes a real, real science project, right? Because remember, rule one, take care of the ball. Don't turn it over. Turn it off. But, hey, you're going to ask him to avoid 3, 4, 5, and sometimes 6 large, angry human missiles.
Or to stand there while they're coming.
Right? Right?
One or the other, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Escape or deliver through a dirty or clean window, depending on the situation, circumstance.
Right.
A missile.
Right. You describe a situation where everything goes relatively according to plan.
Right.
The other CPU that they're carrying is when a particular play goes bad based on down, distance, time, and score, the good ones seem to always understand what to do in that moment too. And so that's another kind of, you know, megabyte of information that they're carrying in their brain too, in addition to the play, in addition to, you know, what they're doing. So yeah, there's a lot of information that's being processed on both sides of the ball for every position. And then somehow it all gets coordinated and we enjoy watching.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Then it's, hey, make the right decision and throw this dart through 11 defenders.
You know, for everybody who sits there and throws a TV and they're going to cuss quarterbacks, I know we're going to talk about them.
Yeah.
I wish that they could get behind those guys in live action and just in a safe distance, and you would be amazed at how decisions are made to see the game from that. We see it from the all 22, right? We see it that the television can help tell the story where the ball is. We don't know about anything else that's going on, but we can see the ball. Sometimes you're lucky enough to get to that all 22. You may see some movements and you may not know exactly what they mean and what's coming and where they're going, but their view is at that ground level, right? That not even, you know, the cameras they stick on the helmet.
Yep.
They don't even have that view because the camera's higher than their eyesight.
Right.
So even that's misleading, right?
They need one to show the foot, all the feet.
the little tiny feet.
Yeah, they need to show the feet because if you want to talk about a quarterback, I've asked you this question several times, whether a quarterback's made from the ground up or from the head down.
Yes.
Right? The footwork, that foot camera could answer some questions for us.
It can. And then they get skillful enough that even if that's kind of messed up, they're still delivering the ball and doing all kinds of things. So, yes, at a base level, I take a guy out in the field, we're teaching mechanics. There's a little line. I ask them line their heels up, and, you know, we start there. This is the way the foot's going to be placed and that type of thing. So you're right. It is from the ground up. And then the footwork that gets involved with a lot of times just being efficient as a passer has to be learned. It's not jumping through hurdles, and although that develops feet, but the footwork I'm really concerned about with is, are we being efficient with our feet to do the things that we need to be able to do? And yeah, from the ground up.
We walk into week zero, and for the Huskers,
right,
it's all eyes. As much as we'd like to be fair and go, God, it'll go as the big guys go. It'll defense wins championship. But on the marquee. And on the ticket and in the game program and on the lips of Husker fans everywhere is the name Dylan Raiola. Right. So I'll ask you, how do you monitor, maintain, and boundary the mind of a young quarterback playing in front of 90,000 people?
Yeah. Don't know. Never done it. But I just know that in general, when you have a young guy, everything's relative. You put a guy out in the Friday night, and he's been dreaming about being a varsity player. It's a big moment for him too. So you do want to early reduce and do things that you execute well. You just want to, and it's something that you want to do for all your players, really. you should be setting them all up for success, right? So you want him to do things that he knows he can do, that if something goes wrong, he knows why it went wrong. And then one of the most useful questions I've always used with young quarterbacks is good or bad. I ask them, what did you see? They complete a pass. I want to know what they saw. They pass is incomplete. They, God forbid, throw an interception. I want to know what they saw. That conversation tells me how much information they're processing, maybe how much more coaching I need to do, how much more understanding of situations. Because with young guys, a lot of times in the beginning, they'll come back with a bunch of BS, to be honest with you. They'll just make up something, and you'll go, okay, we got to really work. We got to really slow this down. We got to really make you understand. And that's really important with an inexperienced quarterback to find out what they're seeing and how they're seeing things.
Through all of it, the natural mind space for elite quarterbacks. And if you're starting at this level, you're an elite quarterback.
Yep.
And if you're trying to be more elite, the thing is maybe to do too much, right? But
yeah, there can be a tendency. There can be a tendency to do too much. And, you know, talking about Dylan, I've said it several times. If they come out and play like they did in the spring game, he's going to have a monster season. And I mean, the what they were asking him to do and how the team was able to play defense and how the team was able to run, it really set a platform for him to easily execute things that he could recognize and see and make great decisions off of. And if they play that way, he's going to have a fantastic season. Now, the deal changes when a young guy feels that he has to do superhuman things, right? And that's when they kind of get in trouble, right? Because you get outside the box, you forget that you have these teammates. And I think the best thing about setting a young quarterback up in that type of situation is that it will eventually dawn on them that there is a way to win a football game. And in that context, they can figure out, all right, what is it I need to do to help us win a football game, right? And it's get the first down. It's not missing the layup. It's making the read that we've talked about. It's not making a dumb decision with the ball. Sometimes it's understanding when the play is over. Sometimes the play is over and it's time to get on the field. It's okay to punt. Those types of things. Understanding field position. You get the ball, you want to score. You know, we're at the minus 40. Let's get 10 yards first. Let's focus on that. What do I have to do to get this ball to the 50? Okay, I've done that. What do I have to do to get this ball to the 40? Okay, now we're getting in a position where we can score. You know, we're going to give the ball back in a disadvantaged position to the offense. So that type of thinking starts to hopefully takes place if a guy is observant with pieces around him. And if he's smart, then that becomes a whole nother thing, right? That becomes a ball game. Now you're talking about playing like Purdy, right? You're talking about playing like Brady, that type of thing. So
at KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It looks like he's got a good structure to be successful. I'm sure he's going to do some wow things. But I'm excited. I can't. I'm not even in Lincoln. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty amazing. Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to break down. We're talking about great quarterbacks. I want to find out who your list of great quarterbacks are. Currently, guys in the NFL, guys who, you know what, if you can buy 10 tickets, to watch them play, or it could even be, you know what, I'd like to get in the huddle with them. Who would the 10 guys be from the NFL? And that's a list. So we'll get Barry Thompson's top 10 quarterback list when we come back to One-on-One. Welcome back, One-on-One, DP, Coach Barry Thompson. We're talking quarterbacks, and through all of it, there are ideals. There are people that you look at and you go, okay, one, they've figured out a thing or two. Two, they've excelled at a thing or two. And because of that, their production and the result is something different, elevated, exceptional. So we'll get the first five, Barry Thompson.
Okay.
Give me the second five of your quarterbacks from the NFL.
The second five. Let me explain. I'll give you a second five.
Okay.
For me, winning is really important. So that
what?
I'm just saying what? Winning for me is really important. So
what are you talking about? There's
going to be certain guys at the top tier. Now, so when you ask about the bottom five, it is a group of guys, older quarterbacks, who are good quarterbacks. They have been good quarterbacks. They can have really good seasons. They've been to Super Bowls. And so those right on my list are kind of the bottom three. I have Rodgers, I have Stafford, and I have Jared Goff, right? Yep. Those are guys that have been through it. If things are right, they may seem a little down, but they could have really good seasons. At the bottom, I'm putting nine. I'll put C.J. Stroud. I'm really interested in which one of these young guys will jump up, and I think one of them will. I'm giving C.J. the nod because he's already got a year under his belt, and he's already kind of showed us what he can do. Real interesting to see if he'll follow that up. In that 10th spot, you could put any of the young guys. I think Jaden Daniels has a good chance. There's guys like Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, Kirk Cousins. Any of those guys with a good season could pop up into the 10th spot for me. But as we focus on the top, for me it's Mahomes and it's Purdy. They've won Super Bowls. They know how to do it. And they're in organizations where – so to me it's really interesting – watching a quarterback at that level navigate everything, right? The pressure of doing it over again, repeating, is something different than just getting there once. Right below that, I have the guys who are uber talented, but have yet to figure it out. Burroughs, Jackson, and Allen, right? All intriguing leaders, can really play their behinds off. But like I said, for me, winning's really important. So how do they figure that out? And then in this slot, I've got three guys who are really good quarterbacks, and they deserve all to be in the top. But for me, they're not going to be in the top because unless they have the seasons they're supposed to have. And right. That's Jalen, that's Dak, and that's Justin Herbert. You know, they all are prominent quarterbacks, but until they have the season that they're supposed to have, till Dak finds a way to win a playoff game at Dallas with everything. Jalen, he finds a way to kind of get there all the way, you know. And Justin, you know, is he and Harbaugh, is that the right formula for him? Because he's shown such great ability. But is that the right formula for him to really take this thing and tear it up? So that's my list, a little more than 10. I think it's 12, actually. But those are my guys. Those are the guys I'm watching, I'm intrigued by.
Where do you put Jordan Love directly?
Well, that's it. You know, I don't know. I have him written down, right? I put him in the group of, quote, young guys. He's been in the league longer than the young guys. But until he has that season where he kind of emerges, does he win, you know, the NFC? You know, does he get him to a championship game? That's it. And understand, these guys are all great, you know. You can go to the bottom half. You talk about Big and Kirk Cousins and, you know, the young guys. They're all great. But if you're asking me to take 10 that I'm really looking at before the season, these are the 10 that I'm looking for that I think are in position to do what they're expected to do, to lead their team certain ways. Wouldn't be surprised about Jordan. Trevor Lawrence shows promises, but he still turns the ball over a little bit too much. You don't know whether that is because he's trying too hard or he feels that to make the pressure. You got the young guys, Caleb and Justin, are real intriguing, right? And you still have Deshaun and Russell Wilson. Russ could be up in that tier with, in my book, with Aaron Rodgers, with those guys, right? Because he's that type of quarterback. He's been there. He knows what to do. But you don't know what you're going to get out of him right now. So that's my 10.
What's giving your report on Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah, I like him, right? I like him a lot. He's exciting, but, you know, how do you put it together? How do you put it together? That's what's always intriguing to me. They've got all these pieces down. They were kind of sexy with their new offense until the coordinators got it. Yes. He's extremely accurate. I'll give him credit. He's found a way to stay healthy, right? First couple times he got taken out and everybody thought he should quit, right? Remember that? Mm-hmm. He should retire. So he's fought his way through that. I just don't know what's going to happen with him. And that's the thing. How do I put him in that top 10 going into the season if I don't know, I don't have a feeling for what he's going to produce or what his team's going to produce?
Harrison is here rubbing his hands in his temples. He must hear about Caleb Williams.
Caleb is exciting. Caleb is uber exciting. You know, but he's new. He's a rookie. So there's a certain vibe around the Bears that's a little bit different, mm-hmm. right? You know, they haven't had a vibe like that in a while. You know, Dicka had a vibe. So there could be something going on there, and you could see something out of him. But I don't know. It's different. If you ask me who are the top 10 exciting quarterbacks, Caleb's mm-hmm. going to be on my list. And mm-hmm. I hate saying that because he's a DMV guy, right? He's a DMV dude. So I'm pulling for him. Believe me, he's not far from here. So I'm pulling for him. But if you're asking me going in right now, who are the – and it hurts me that I can't put a Raider on that list.
Well, that was the next question because
it's killing me. It's
Minshew Magic still got it.
Yeah. What I mean, what really? Barry, it pained me to think that of the literally just the placeholder.
Yeah.
That he's in a group that if you said Daniel Jones, Jacoby Brissett, and Gardner Minshew, you're not.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
you're not wrong.
Yeah, right? I know. But people, to the point I want to get across, anybody's listening, it's easy for us to sit up here and say Gardner Minshew and Jacoby Brissett and those guys that are journeymen and Geno Smith and that group, but I'm telling you, they're the best in the world. They really are. Yep. I mean, this is me looking at just a row of really ripe tomatoes and deciding that I want these 10, right? And so, yeah, you might be a little frustrated if Geno's your quarterback. You might be a little frustrated if Jacoby Brissett, and you're wondering why, you know, what's again, the May kid isn't in or whatever. Right, you wonder why Joe Milton is not in.
Right.
But understand the volume of offense that a professional quarterback has to carry into a game. It is no joke. Like when you sit there and you watch and you see a play and you go, oh my gosh, how'd they do that play? Well, that's the stack of information that they were carrying in the game. And it just takes a lot of maturity to kind of get that stuff down. While you let me ramble, let me say one thing. I am excited by Bo Nix
mm-hmm.
and his matchup with Sean Payton, because Sean is one of those guys who can look at a quarterback and knows what he wants. And so you look at that and you watch the way he kind of moved around and made some plays. I think he's an interesting young guy to watch, you know, that a lot of people aren't talking about. But it was really interesting watching him in the preseason.
Yeah, Chris Raff just threw his hat in the air.
Like, yeah, you know. I'm a Raider fan. I hate saying this stuff.
I know it pains you. It pains you at all.
Yeah, so it does.
If Patrick Mahomes is QB1, who is QB2?
I'm saying Purdy right now. And it doesn't have anything to do with who's flashes. I've told you for years, I love Lamar. I love him, right? But this is professional football. And so to me, it is about winning championships. It is about getting teams into the playoffs. It is about having success in the playoffs. Doesn't mean you're a bad quarterback, but man, it seems like that is the challenge. That's the mountain you're trying to climb. So why wouldn't you go with two guys that have climbed it and say 1 and 2? I don't care what you like. Purdy got it done. Mahomes has gotten it done repeatedly. And I actually think Burrow has a similar mindset to Mahomes. I really do. Of all those guys, I don't know them, but my impression is that Burrow has the same mindset as Mahomes, but he hadn't been able to put together the season. He's been injured and, you know, all those kind of things. If you're asking me mindset, I love those two guys.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the big thing, right? That if you're talking about quarterback play, the individual has preferences, winning being a priority at the top of it, style of play, right? What are you able to do? Can you win no matter what you have? Is there a running game required? What type of running game? What spread are you working off of? Do you have top-tier receivers? There's a whole bunch of questions that you also have to factor in. But I'd like the fact that, again, if Mahomes is 1A and Purdy, look, the last we saw, they were the last two quarterbacks standing. So there's valid, there's juice to the squeeze, as we say. We'll throw it a break. We'll come back. We'll close out one-on-one by asking Barry Thompson, what are you cooking? We'll do that.
Yeah, let's go. Let's eat. Let's eat, baby.
Final segment with Barry Thompson, the coach.
And yeah, sorry about that. My computer was about to die.
No.
So I had to go give it some juice.
Hey, man, understood the thing that we're doing. Yeah. Barry Thompson, the question that is being asked.
Really simple tonight. Had some Cuban coleslaw and a pan-seared steak, and we basted it with butter and garlic and rosemary. So for the Cuban slaw, just you got some green cabbage. You get some red. I think it's actually purple cabbage and some carrots. And you guys know how to cut that stuff up. But the vinaigrette is something called sour orange. You can use one lemon and a lime that gives you the kind of flavor of what's called a sour orange. You squeeze that in there. You put a quarter cup of red wine vinegar, a little bit of oregano, salt and pepper, a little bit, maybe two or three cloves of garlic minced up. Olive oil to your taste. You know, if you want it 1-to-1 or 2-to-1, some people have that. A little bit of oregano, and that goes in. A little bit of parsley into the vinaigrette. A little bit of cilantro. A little bit of green onions into the vinaigrette. Let that stuff kind of marinate, and then just pour it all over. And it's just a wonderful, kind of refreshing non-mayonnaise coleslaw with the pan-seared steak. Just a little technique. I'm sure a lot of people know it, but as you're finish it in the pan, when you get close to being done, lower the heat, put some butter in there, put a sprig of rosemary, whatever herb you like, and then you tilt the pan and you take a spoon and that hot oil, that butter and the drippings from the pan, you just keep spooning that over the meat as it's finishing. And then, of course, you got to let your meat rest and cut it up. It was a good eat. I'm going to go get some more when we're done.
Yeah, I'm with you, bro. It's Monday night. This is the last Monday night of no Monday night football. So we're moving forward pretty quickly.
Yeah.
In these next 2 weeks. But here's the question, Coach.
Sure.
What is the MVP of football food? What is the MVP?
Oh man, I would think, you know, the chili is a solid go-to, but if we're talking about football. And that weather, chili's a salt. You can't go wrong with chili. You can't go wrong with ribs. But I'm going to tell you, you can't go wrong with a good pot of chicken sausage gumbo either, or chicken sausage jambalaya. That will feed a lot of people for a lot. You can adjust your heat levels. So I'm going to go with – I got a co-MVP. It'll be Texas. I love Texas chili.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with Texas chili. Okay. And then – say chicken sausage jambalaya is going to be right behind.
I would have thought that, and we've had this, Vershawn and I have had this debate where it's wings.
Mm-hmm.
And then Farley will tell you that it's a burger. Like it's just like a burger. Yeah, you can't mess it up. Football food.
Right.
And of course, right, for my family, it's pizza. Okay. Like it's the layup. It's the layup of all layups. Yeah. But yeah. What's your pizza go-to, Barry Thompson?
Pizza. There's a place around here called Pupatella's. I'm a meat lovers guy. They do the Napoleon style, Neapolitan style of pizza where they cook it in these special wood ovens. Their ovens got to be certified. And it's a really thin type of pizza. Really good. But it's definitely going to have some meat on it for me, pizza. But a good pizza is a good pizza. I'm not going to get mad. Yeah.
Right. Like
you bring me a slice that's good, I'm going to eat it.
Well, I'm just trying. We're plotting like your menu for when you get here, where we're going.
If, like it, if it has to be pizza, I like meat lovers. I also like is different combination. Pepperoni and onions is a pretty good combination. Pepperoni and onions is pretty good.
I don't think you go wrong with any of that. There's several places that we want to go there. You know, of course, Mary Ellen's, we're going to take you there.
Yeah.
And, let you meet Charles and
yes,
try his cuisine. You got to meet Chubbs from Soulful Casino.
Okay.
To go get his. We've got the Big Ten Sports Cafe right around the corner now. It's a block away. Right. Yeah. Their menu's pretty exceptional.
Yeah.
Buffalo Wings and Rings. Of course, there's our partners doing that thing. You're gonna eat when you're here.
Yeah, so let me clear some up. Sometimes people think because I cook, I'm kind of a food snob. I am not. If it tastes good, I'm like I've eaten squirrel, I've eaten rabbit, I've had chitlins, I've had hog maw, I've had hog jowl. Yeah. So if it's good, I don't really care. Like, you know, I'm not a white napkin table, I need wine guy. It's just that I like food that just tastes good. That's all. So if it tastes good, I'm all about it.
Well, we're gonna plot and plan.
Right. We'll have to plot him down for the Testicle Festival.
Yeah.
Hey, you joke about the Testicle Festival. In another life, I worked for a Saudi investment firm that was trying to become the first privately owned Saudi firm in the U.S. And one of my travels, I've traveled to Dubai, and they have these little things called souks. And so I was there. I was like, okay, you know, what would be something here that I wouldn't normally get, and what do people eat? And it's going to sound kind of weird, but it was monkey brains. It was monkey brains. And it was...
You could have left out the kind of.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird. It tasted okay. It was weird. It was one of those things. So I just, I don't expect to eat any brains. I don't necessarily...
No.
Sweet bread.
Not on my watch.
But,
not
on my watch. I am a little country, you know, chicken fried steak, all that stuff. Anything that's good, I'm down for it.
No, we're going to keep it simple.
Listen,
next week, we're going to keep it simple. I absolutely tell you, 100%. Yeah. Cool. Barry Thompson, love you, brother. We will talk to you next week, and I'll see you next week.
Yes, you will.
Thanks for doing that. That's One-on-One. Up next, the Don't Punt Hour. The Mornay Personnel will take you through until 8 o'clock here on The Ticket.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.